It's been interesting, some of the messages as of late. We've been hearing a lot about serving. We've been hearing a lot of messages about gifts and our spiritual gifts. That'll continue next week. I really appreciated Mr. Kaczynski's sermonette, and I would like to kind of tie into that and continue on that theme. Because when we think about calling to serve, and that is why God has called us. He's called us to serve. And we can serve in various ways, to our own talents, to our own gifts, as we heard about. But that is why God has called us. He's not called us to save our own skin. He's not called us because we're the best looking or the smartest or the most intelligent, but He has called us to serve, both now and in the future. And when someone serves, does something, there can be a level of recognition that is returned. Not always, but sometimes. And the recognition could be a thank you. The recognition could be a nice job. The recognition could be I really appreciated your sermon because it didn't go over an hour. There can be many levels of recognition and even possibly some negative recognition. People who may not have agreed or would have done things differently. But there is some level of recognition. And over time, people serving can possibly warrant one or more of the following responses. They serve or they're looking for a recognition that can be seen in visibility, to be seen, to be praised. I do it, but I would like to be praised. I'd like to give response, to be rewarded tangibly. I've done this, now I expect something in return, or even a desire for promotion. If these are the things we seek, then by not getting some of these responses, it could lead to a certain amount of bitterness, anger, depression, and possibly pushing us to the point where, hey, if I don't get it, I'm going to move on somewhere else where I can get such a response. And we've seen that in the history of the church, even way back to the New Testament times, even before Christ's sacrifice. The sons of Zebedee, where the mom came and said, who's going to sit on your right hand? What type of recognition will my sons have? Or the question also is the disciples who are arguing among themselves, who's the greatest? Isn't it me? Am I not the best speaker? Or am I not the best organizer? Or am I not the best what have you? Even in more recent history of the church, you see the desire to be in charge, to be the one calling the shots. A certain frustration or an anger when they were not and what it has led to. Even locally, we see some of the ways we can contribute. I remember when Passover assignments, when I first started getting involved and being able to help with Passover, I get excited. Well, am I going to help to be able to help with Passover? Am I going to be the one to be giving out the bread or the wine? You know, what's the recognition going to be? God has created us with emotions. How we respond to recognition. And God did not create any bad stuff. There's something good about a potential response to recognition. It's definitely human. It's there. I've performed in different choirs and bands growing up through college. Sharing a story last week about I was in a choir, combined choir, that also we hired the Dallas-Fort Worth Chamber Orchestra and performed a good part of the creation. And the response of when we finished up the last piece and the portion we were in creation and the standing ovation and the accolade, it was a rush. It was a significant rush. And the same thing with band, playing in different bands and hearing the response. There is a rush. And it gives you goosebumps and it kind of drives as a performer to get more. So God created in us this response to recognition, but how we handle that recognition affects our ability to serve Him. But today we'd like to talk, review about our response to recognition and how it can help or hinder our service. It's clear, as we talked about, that God has called us to serve. Therefore, we need to learn to control that recognition, as Satan will inflate them to destroy you and to destroy me. Rewards, the ultimate rewards, come from God, do they not? And not man. We can get rewards from man. We've already talked about the thank yous, the applause, the standing ovations, the hugs, the gifts, the whatever the rewards could come. But the ultimate reward comes from God and not man. And we should not go looking for those physical rewards, those tangible rewards. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6 and verse 1. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 1. In the Sermon on the Mount, the first public address that our elder brother gave, he didn't waste any time in addressing a group of folks who proclaimed to be standard bearers of God's ways. Matthew 6 and verse 1. Beware of practicing your righteousness before men, and here he's speaking to his disciples. Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them, otherwise you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. You get the physical rewards, but no ultimate rewards where it counts. Verse 2, so when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be honored by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But when you give to the poor, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving will be in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Now, we typically can't serve in the church all the time without being noticed. Many times we can. We can do things secretly, as we just read, but sometimes in our serving and our giving, it's hard to be completely clandestine. You show up to help mow a widow's yard, and you're going to put on the mask so no one knows who you are. It doesn't quite work that way. Obviously, the message here is that what is our motive in serving? Is our motive to be seen, just like the hypocrites were? Is our motive for a purpose? Why do we do the things we do? If we talk about our spiritual gifts and rehearsing our spiritual gifts, we'll hear more about that next week. It's great that if we have those capabilities that we want to give, but why? Why do we do it? Could we cope if the audible applause stopped? It's one thing about performers. You hear often and why performers sometimes turn to drugs, is that in performing there is such a high, and there is such a feed off of the audience. And some gifted performers can't handle the lows of not hearing the applause, not hearing the feedback, not receiving it. Satan loves applause, and he will attempt to pump that same attitude into us. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. Isaiah 14 and verse 12. In addressing Lucifer, who became Satan, how have you fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, son of the dawn? You have been cut down to the earth, you who have weakened the nations. But you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God, and I will sit at the mount of assembly in the recesses of the north. And I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. Satan perverts our emotion, our thoughts when it comes to recognition. Satan wanted the recognition for him. He wanted to be exalted. And that influence is what sometimes corrupts our emotion. But as we already said, just like God created Lucifer, pure, beautiful, He created this emotion and of recognition. So it's a question of is how do we respond? How do we control? How do we interact with this emotion and this dealing with recognition? So I would like to share with you for the rest of the time, the sermon time, keys for dealing with recognition. How do we deal with this recognition? We should view all recognition that we may receive as temporary. It is temporary. Or a perk. If you think about working, you often get your base salary and sometimes you get perks, extra things. May not be a permanent, but it's temporary. We should view all recognition as temporary, not the substance, but the shadow. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. For an analogy to help explain what I'm saying here. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And we'll begin at verse 6. Paul, in his instructions to Timothy on being a good minister, he writes, "In pointing out these things to the brethren, when you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourished on the words of the faith and of the sound doctrine which you have been following, but have nothing to do with worldly fables fit only for old women. On the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness." And the term discipline there, the word, the Greek word discipline, is akin to a exercise with discipline. It comes from the Greek word, the base word for gymnasium. We're about ready to have another Olympics, and you see the examples of Michael Phelps and others and the training that they need to go through to prepare for the Olympics. It's the same. Instruction is a physical training, or a training comparable to physically preparing for a race or for a game. And continuing on then in verse 8, "For bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come." The King James Version in verse 8 translates it for bodily discipline or exercise, for exercise is of little profit. Now, I used to use that verse to justify why I didn't exercise very much. I had a good friend in college who was a runner, and she would tell me I need to run, and I would quote that verse to her. But that's a misapplication, not only of using the scriptures, but also a mistranslation. It's not the best translation. The better translation is what we read in the New King James Version or the New American Standard, which I'm reading, is that the exercise of bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things. And here Paul is comparing. Physical exercise does profit. It profits, but it profits for a little while. Because after all, eventually we will continue to get old. We'll continue to start to fade. It's happening to some of us sooner than others, maybe because we don't exercise as much as we should. But we do begin to fade. And all the exercise that we had put in, or may have put in, or should have put in, when we get to that point where we take our last breath and we're waiting for the resurrection, doesn't mean anything at that point compared to the spiritual. Godliness. Paul is comparing the importance of the two. Physical exercise is of little importance compared to the spiritual. But physical exercise is a very important tool if we use it in the spiritual, in being righteous. In other words, through our exercise, we are more healthy. We're sharper and able to better read and understand the scriptures, better able to serve, better able to be our wife or husband or kids. Or then physical exercise is very important, is it not? But still, it has a purpose. And the ultimate purpose is our journey to the kingdom of God and our pursuit of God's righteousness. There's a greater purpose. And it's the same thing for recognition. Recognition is temporary. We do things, we may receive recognition, but the recognition is the shadow. It's the temporary thing. It's not the permanent thing. What the permanent thing is the service that we do, that we may or may not receive the recognition. The recognition is temporary. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 28. Reading of the virtuous woman. Proverbs 31 verse 28. And her children rise up and bless her, her husband also. And he praises her saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. There's something quite attractive about providing recognition, is it not? We praise God. God instructs us to praise Him. It's providing God recognition for what He has done for us. And here is an example where we read about how we can praise a virtuous woman because of her capabilities. Recognition is a positive thing. Recognition is a good thing, but it is temporary. Praise and recognition should not feed a personal need. If we receive recognition and feedback because of the things we do, that's a wonderful thing. We shouldn't shy away from that. But if we do the things for the purpose of the recognition, to fill a personal need inside of us, a shortcoming inside of us, and then it's all we're seeking, and it's all we're going to get. And then we get back onto dangerous ground, like we read, where if all we're doing is seeking the recognition, then we're being influenced by our enemy. So in dealing with recognition, we need to remember that recognition is just that. It's temporary. Second thing that we need to bear in mind is that Jesus Christ is the one responsible for praise or lack of praise. Let's look at Psalms chapter 75. Psalms. Chapter 75 and verse 6. Psalms chapter 75 and verse 6. For not from the east, nor from the west, nor from the desert comes exaltation. But God is the judge. He puts down one and exalts the other. And we're here talking about the ultimate reward, the ultimate recognition. And the feedback, God is conscious of what we are doing and what we need. It's like rain in due season. You know, sometimes when we're struggling and we get that phone call, it's like the inch of rain or 2 inches of rain we just got this past week. dry, the land is so parched, and we have this drought, and we receive an inch of rain, and it's a godsend. It's a relief. When oftentimes we're struggling, going through a trial, and we get that comment from someone, it's just like the proverbial apple set that are delicious and beautiful. It's the same thing. God knows what we are doing and what we need and can provide that feedback. Philippians chapter 2 and verse Philippians 2 and verse 5. God provides those blessings, and through Jesus Christ provides those blessings in due season. Here, and we read in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5 that his Father did the same thing for Jesus Christ. He says, "Have this attitude in yourself," Paul writes, "which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name." You know, God the Father exalted Jesus Christ in the proper time. Remember, as Jesus Christ was on the cross and he was crying out to his Father. And at that time, God the Father said, he turned his back until the proper time. When then he was able to resurrect his Son, bring him to his throne, and was able to exalt him. From time to time, God may see that the visible recognition is withdrawn to help us assess why we are doing what we are doing. It's interesting, and I talk about sermons and preparing sermons. Could you not? There are times when I'm heading to services and I'm thinking, this one's going to be a doozy. I don't think we'll have to hear another sermon for the next 4 weeks. And I give it and give with all power and gusto, and I sit down and I go to seek my recognition from my very straightforward significant other. And I say, "How was it?" And the response was, "Yeah, it was okay." Sometimes recognition is withdrawn when it should be, to help us assess why are we doing things. What's our motivation? Is our motivation for the limelight? Is our motivation because I'm the only one that can do this because I'm so great? On the other hand, there are times when I'm heading to services thinking, "Oh, I'm not ready. God help me. You know, speak through me. Speak through your words, because this is just not good. This isn't good. I haven't done what I needed to do, and probably not going to be one of my better performances, but just let me get out of the way and speak through me." And then I sit down and I'm thinking, oh wow, that was a mess. And then you get the feedback. That was one of the best sermons you've ever given. It's amazing what happens when you get yourself out of the way and you get your ego out of the way. God can also provide a healthy dose of recognition. I mentioned the concept of praising and recognition is a God-given thing. It's a thing of beauty. We are human, are we not? And we do need the encouragement to know that we are doing the right thing. So we are having the positive feedback. So there's nothing wrong with recognition and receiving healthy recognition. Because God provides good, healthy recognition for us. This is sometimes He says, I'm going to hold this recognition to see where your head is. We need to ask God for that spirit of humility to handle it properly. The third thing we need to remember when we're dealing with recognition is that sometimes it's important to recognize that a fear of recognition could keep us from serving. We need to recognize that a fear of recognition could keep us from serving. And I call that the who am I syndrome. Some of us are a bit more boisterous and outgoing than others. Some of us are a bit more reserved and quiet. They don't want the limelight. They don't want to stand up and lead songs or give an opening and closing prayer. They don't want to be the one to help organize socials, or they just want to stay in the background because a fear of recognition. Let's look at Exodus chapter 3. I call this the who am I syndrome. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 10. Exodus 3 and verse 10, when Pharaoh had left Egypt the first time, and that he appeared in front of God at the burning bush. And the instructions then that the Eternal was giving to Moses in Exodus 3 verse 10, therefore come now and I will send you to Pharaoh so that you may bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt? And it's a fair question. We all think of Moses, and he's described as being a meek individual. And it's a fair question. Well, who am I? Who am I to do this? Who am I to give an opening or closing prayer? Who am I to help out with whatever your spiritual gifts lead you? Who am I? And it's a fair question if it's done with balance. God goes on to say, well, here is what I'm going to do through you, Moses. It's not just you, but here's what I'm going to do through you. And then chapter 4, verse 1, and Moses said, well, what if they will not believe me or listen to what I say? For they may say, the Lord has not appeared to you. Moses says, who am I? God says, this is what I'm going to do through you. Then Moses says, but. And then the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? A staff. And he gives him the example of the power. This is what I'm going to do through you. This is the power that I have to show that they will listen. And then we read in verse 10. Then Moses said to the Eternal, please, Lord, I have never been eloquent or a man of words, neither recently nor in the time past, nor since you have spoken to your servant, for I am slow of speech and of tongue. Then the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Look at everything. Can I help? Can I work through to you? And finally, in verse 13, Moses says, please, Lord, now send the message by whomever you will, or someone else. And then we read in verse 14, the anger of the Eternal burned against Moses. This is the who am I syndrome, where we go from the humble to the not allowing God to work through us. where his where God's anger was burning against Moses. He's very frustrated at the response because it wasn't humility. It almost became a false humility, a reason not to do things. If we're nervous, which is very natural to be nervous about maybe the gifts that God has given us to exercise, if we may be a bit, well, I'm not sure, who am I to be able to do? It's only a fair question. But if it gets us, leads us to the point where we're not willing to exercise those spiritual gifts, and it could be a fear of recognition. I don't want to be in the limelight. I don't want to hear it. Just like doing something for our own purpose and our own receiving of recognition is not consistent with God's ways, not doing something and using our gifts for fear of recognition is not God's way either. God wants us to share. God wants us to give. And if we're holding back because we don't want to hear that recognition, then we're not allowing God to work through us. Our fear of recognition can also be negative recognition. Needless to say, everyone has opinions, and everyone's often free to share them. Even in the household of faith, there's a few one-liners that I have found dealing with criticisms. Jean Sibelius said, "Pay no attention to what the critics say. There has never been set up a state in honor of a critic." Or proverb, "If a dog barks at a hill, would a hill crumble?" I like that one. "If criticism had any real power to harm, the skunk would be extinct by now." Or a few Chinese proverbs, "The moon could not go on shining if it paid any attention to the little dogs that bark at it." "Be not disturbed at being misunderstood. Be disturbed, rather, at not being understanding." Unfortunately, with human nature flying rampant, there will never be a shortage of people who criticize. And often we are afraid to serve, to do something for the fear of receiving bad recognition or criticism. That should not keep us from serving. We help out from time to time with, for example, special music at the feast, and we would get evaluated on special music. And I share with folks from time to time that I know I'm doing a good job if I get a balance. I'll get a few people who will say, "You're the best thing since sliced bread." And I have a few people who say, "You should never do this again for the rest of your life." Natural life, physical life. And most people say, "Yeah, it went well. It went okay." Then I know, because I will always have those every year without fail. Certain people who just didn't like the way things went. It will be there. If one would always hold off doing anything until they knew that they were going to get 100% on agreement, nothing would get done. There would be no service. There would be no help. We should not fear recognition or fear negative recognition, but we should serve. If we're focusing on the recognition part, we're not serving for the right reason. The final thing that I would like to share, keys when dealing with recognition, is that, as always, and we've already alluded to it, that our first goal in our service should be to establish and prepare for the kingdom of God and our purpose and our role in the kingdom of God. That is our ultimate goal. And in the same, bringing many sons to glory. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 9. Hebrews 6 and verse 9. But beloved, we are convinced of better things concerning you, and things that accompany salvation, though we are speaking in this way. For God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown toward His name, and having ministered and is still ministering to the saints. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. If we keep Matthew 6:33 near and dear to us as our priority, we understand, as we just read, what the hope that we have and the promises that we have is not in this life, but the promise is what is to come through the kingdom of God, what we celebrate during the Feast of Tabernacles. If we keep that goal in our life as the number one purpose of our existence, then that helps us put this whole concept of recognition into its proper place. That we recognize that feedback we do receive that could be helpful, that could be constructive criticism, or it could be support and encouragement, that it is that. It's temporary. It leads to the kingdom of God. It leads to bringing many sons to glory. And that if we focus on the kingdom of God, that God promises that a good work that He would finish in us, that He will provide us as we need the existence of recognition, or in some cases a lack of recognition, to make sure that we have a proper perspective. And that if our intent and goal is to serve others, to give to others, to help bring others along, to share, that is our goal. And we have that humility of not who am I, but who am I without God? And I'm everything with God, and I can exercise the spiritual gifts with the right purpose and with the right support and strength. We recognize that we have no fear of negative recognition. Or if we're shy, we have no fear of positive recognition. We need to step out and serve, to get involved, and need to be mindful of the power of recognition. Have a good Sabbath.